Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up on this episode of iPad Today, I've got a guest host. Natalie Morris is going to be here. And she's got a few great apps for little kids, and she should know because she actually has a little kid. Plus, what is CNN doing with Zeit? Why don't more women want tablets? I don't know. And make stories with Blurb. All that and a little pitter-patter on iPad Today. This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Your ability to stay mobile can be the key to your success. With GoToMyPC, you can work from anywhere, anytime, right from your iPad. Download the free app and visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial and enter the promo code iPad. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Hello, everybody, and shoot, I was late on the uptake. Welcome to iPad Today. Now, who is this lovely lady? She is so much prettier than Leo Laporte. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Leo looks nice and pretty lately as well.
Yes. Natalie Morris is my guest host today because Leo's got the day off, and I'm so happy that you're here because we love you, and we want you to be on as many Twitch shows as possible, and this is such a good fit for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, I emailed you because I've been watching your show, and also I've been writing a report lately for Consumer Reports. I write a weekly column about children's apps, and I thought, hey, you should do another children's show. Now, I know you and Leo did a children's show, but I thought, you know, there's so many good children's apps. Why don't you do it again?
Absolutely. So that's fine. We, not only is that one of the most requested themes for our show.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Because there are just a lot of, not just parents who are trying to figure out ways for their kids to stay busy, you know, and kind of like out of their hair type of thing. But a lot of learning apps, and it just seems to be one of these things that families have really gotten into as far as it being something that you can share around the house. But Leo and I are always saying we always want to give people what they want as far as themes go. But neither of us have little kids. I mean, Leo's got kids, but they're almost grown
up.
Teenagers,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a totally different situation when you don't have a little wee one. You do have, I don't have any kids at all, so I mean, I kind of like little kid apps because I feel like I'm a kid at heart, but yeah. I don't really have first-hand experience of what works and what doesn't. You do.
Well, should we call your mom and get her opinion on why you don't have kids?
If only there were iPads when I was little, I probably would have been less of a pain because there's so many to choose from. And I think that as parents, not all of these apps are free. Some of them are, but usually the better ones cost a few dollars. And it's like, that's usually a lot cheaper than buying 10 books. But you still want to make sure that you're buying things wisely and you're not wasting money on apps that your kids don't like or will never want to launch.
Right, but if you do spend $1.99, and I think in this case, I think the most expensive app I have today is like $3.99.
Yeah.
If you spend this money and your kid loves it, you would pay $40 or, you know, twice that much at least, because to have something that's entertaining your kid and not making you feel guilty as a parent is priceless. Because, so I will put this disclaimer, the American Pediatric Association doesn't recommend screens for children under 2. And I thought about this a lot because my son is only 13 months, so he's 1 year old. But he recently said the word iPad, was a very proud mother.
Nice.
It sounds more like iPad, iPad, and he points at it, iPad, because he knows that's the thing that has games and entertainment and education. So, you know, I thought, well, should I keep it away from him because the American Pediatric Society says no screens before 2, or should I not? I don't know. And I decided that it's not the same as just plopping my kid in front of the TV.
Right.
And playing a video for him. It's different. He's engaged. He has to touch things. He has to repeat things. So I don't know, but you're free to disagree with me in the chat room if you want, or on the show notes. But that's how I feel. And other parents of children under 2, you know, you have to make your own decisions.
Well, you, okay, so for and you said, again, when you're a parent, whatever works for your child, not only just, hey, they're not crying anymore, this is the best day ever, but they're actually learning. They're learning how to count or spell or a variety of other things, or they're just singing along or reading along with a book. That is actually a learning experience that you don't get. I mean, even watching Sesame Street, which is, I mean, that's how I learned all my stuff. But that is sitting in front of a TV, kind of being quiet and maybe sitting a little bit too close. All that stuff has been a parent's nightmare for a long time. So you did come up with four apps that, as a parent, work for you.
Yes.
And we'll start with something called, and by the way, I just want to say to anybody who's watching the show saying, oh man, I'm like Sarah, I don't have any kids either, so how is this going to help me? Everybody's got a brother, sister, you know, you're probably some sort of aunt or uncle, or you've got friends who have little kids and they're pulling their hair out because they haven't slept in 6 months. So keep this in mind that you can kind of be the hero who can give people really good recommendations, even if you yourself don't have little kids who would be using these apps. All right, so let's start with something called Counting Bear.
Counting Bear. This is the cutest thing ever. And I found this one actually because we had some viewers send it in. And all it does is have you touch certain objects and it counts the objects. You start at one and then it goes to the next page and it'll give you two of the next options. And it'll tell you, count the cows or count the carrots or count the rectangles or whatever. If you want to put different objects in there that you want your child to learn, say eggs, that's not in there, or pillows, you can use your iPad's camera in order to add those things, and then the app will bring them in randomly, and you can also customize the voice as well. So there's a nice lady whose voice is there, and it'll say, count the pumpkins. But you can record your voice over hers, which is nice. So if you wanted to, say, customize it, if I wanted to say, Miles, count the monkeys, then I could do that.
That's really cool. So you're, there's a little bit more of inserting yourself into the game, which can be really good for kids.
Exactly. Or maybe I wanted to teach him those words in French or in Spanish or some other language. Then you could record yourself saying, you know, count the monkeys in Spanish. You can also record your own admonition. So it'll say like, good job or way to go or something like that. And then you can put your own voice there going, way to go, Miles, or good job, or you're a smarty pants or whatever. So my son loves this. It's the only complaint I have with this is it needs an update because it's a tiny bit buggy. It crashes for me around 8. I can usually get around 8 and then it crashes. And that, I think, will probably change in the next update.
Well, it's funny because this app, before you go into the settings area, you go, okay, well, this is pretty much the simplest thing ever. You can decide if you want the numbers to be random rather than progressive. So if your kid starts to be like, okay, well, I just counted three bears, so I know whatever's next is going to be four. Maybe random is the next level up type of thing. But the customization, especially being able to add your own voice or just play around with that sort of thing, makes it actually a really powerful program because it can be a lot of different iterations. Even though it's counting. I mean, there's a cute bear. So, I mean, kids are going to like that already. But you can make it a lot more than what it seems like on the surface. And this is 99 cents.
Yeah. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's not really a game. It's more of an exercise. But it's such a neat thing. It keeps... And my son is only... I guess he's had it for about a month. And he actually does touch the items. He understands that to get to the next page, I have to touch each one. Mm-hmm. So he can't count to seven himself, but he can hear it. So I don't know.
It's getting absorbed.
Back to you. Right. So next week, he should know calculus.
I hope so. You know, you got the iPad. It's quite an investment.
My expectations are high.
Yeah. Oh, we did do a calculator app episode a few episodes back for anyone's like, how does that work? Miles should look into that. The next app that you sent along was Toddler Jukebox, which I have to say, Natalie, some of these songs I had forgotten existed, but I know them because I sang them when I was a kid.
Yeah, some of them I knew sort of them, but I didn't know all the words, like Miss Mary Mac. I certainly didn't know. So this is for when mommy kind of, I start to hum him a song, like, and then I forget the words, and then I, you know, it sounds terrible. So it's basically like going out and buying yourself a CD of toddler songs. It plays them by random. You can't put your voice over. It's just kind of a nice, it's a man. He sounds like he could be a preschool teacher or something. and he just sings it. My son really likes it. And then I kind of sing along with him. And then the ones where, you know, it requires gestures like Itsy Bitsy Spider, we do that together. But he reaches for this app and then he kind of likes to hear a little bit of the song and then push another one. I wish they had a lock feature on it, but they don't. So sometimes, you know, I'll be getting really into Twinkle Twinkle and then he switches it to Wheels on the Bus and that ruins my groove. But
I know.
He finds
hey, kid,
it.
I liked that one.
I wanted to hear that song. I was really into Bingo. But, you know, it's such a fun thing. And when I was pregnant, I got a bunch of CDs that people had given me of nursery schools. And I was like, I don't even own a CD player. So I don't use those. But this is basically, what is this? $1.99. And then you have all of these songs at your disposal at any given time.
It sounds like the man who sings these songs is a fellow by the name of John Simon, who is, at least this app says, a renowned New York children's artist with more than 20 years of experience singing to and with children, as well as teaching music in schools. So we don't have my iPad plugged in right now to hear all the audio, but it's just very, you know, he's got a nice voice, he's strumming on the guitar. I can see kids really digging the style. It's not too complicated. It's not something that, as a parent, if you're in the background, it's going to drive you as crazy as, I don't know, some
exactly
sort of kids electronica version.
Yeah. I will say I'm not a huge fan of his rendition of Over in the Meadow.
Oh.
But, you know, I'll give him a pass because I really like Word by Word is my favorite one. So it's fun. It's a fun little sing-along gang, you know.
Kids love singing.
Right? They do.
Parents do too, but certainly kids. The next app. Okay. Again, I don't have kids, so when it comes to the subject of potty training, I'm like, oh man, that's just, wow. I can't imagine being somebody who's having to deal with that, but it does happen. It happens.
Sorry,
it happens to the best of us. And are you into potty training yet with him, or is he too little?
No. We're not even, he's only 13 months. So I guess kids potty train around a year and a half to 3 years, anytime in there's gray area. But Once Upon a Potty is a pretty famous children's book. It's a book that came out way before this iPad app. And they have a girl version and a boy version. And it basically talks about, like, when you feel a little pressure, then this is what happens. And we all have these little things between our legs, and this is where the potty comes out. So it's a very nice story about pottying. And like I said, it's customized for boys and girls. So what the publisher did was take these books that already were big hits and create them as iPad apps. So, you know, I get pitched all the time for so many interactive storybooks. And, you know, how a storybook is a storybook. Like, they take the story and they animate it and the kids like it. But this is a fun one because most parents will have gotten this book as a gift at some point or another. And it's a good lesson. Hopefully it rubs off. You know, you want your child to not have the stigma about potty training.
Well, so this was not a story that was familiar to me beforehand, but I think it is really, I mean, it's if it's something that's kind of beloved over the years with parents, that's been passed around as, you know, a song that you sing to your kids or a book that you read to your kids, then that's great. And I like that they're okay. See, I'm sorry. I'm childish myself. So these sorts of things make me giggle a little bit, but yes, there is actually, this is an important part of a kid's upbringing. And maybe if you have a boy, they don't want to read the girl story, or they don't want to hear about what's her name. I think it's her name's Prudence, the girl version of this story, and Joshua's the boy version. So,
right.
And then they give you a variety of options. You can just have it sung to you. You can sing along. Let's start over. So it's talking about the mother and the kid and what they have to go through. And maybe when your child gets a little bit older, they know the story well enough so they can kind of flip through it and they've remembered you reading to them, or you could read it to them as well. It's really cute. I actually, even though it's easy to sort of giggle at the subject matter, I think the illustrations are really cute.
I thought you were going to say you learned a lot.
I did. Yeah, I've been doing it wrong this whole time. 34 years. You'd think I would have known better.
Oh, see, you're supposed to sit, not stand.
Really would have been helpful.
I'm so glad I
to know before
that.
Today. So that's Once Upon a Potty, which is from Ocean House Media. They do a lot of apps. We've talked about a few of their apps on previous episodes of iPad Today before. So it's definitely worth checking out their products at oceanhousemedia.com. And this is $2.99. So again, if it's going to help the potty training process, I would think $3 is a steal.
Exactly. And anything that you can do to move your child away from laughing when you say the word potty or pee pee or penis, or that might be the first time penis was said on iPad Today, was it?
I'm pretty sure it was. Yes. So okay. Thank you.
You're
welcome. I'm glad it was you, not me.
And we're trying to not giggle. That's the point. We're
that's
being
right.
mature about this.
Okay. Right. Finally, iReward Chart, which is actually an iPhone app, although it works just fine on the iPad. I just blew it up to twice the size, and you'd really never know the difference. By the way, all of these apps want to be in portrait mode, not landscape mode. I'm going to go ahead.
Yeah, and they don't flip well. Almost, I don't think any of these flip to portrait mode at all.
Yeah, or landscape mode, rather.
Or landscape mode, rather. None of them do, which is a little frustrating because a lot of times when I'm holding my son on my lap, I want to hold it that way. But
I know. I know, especially with illustration-based apps, you almost have to build a whole other version, you know, and make sure that they're compatible. But I wish more apps would allow you to rotate, because that's part of the beauty of iPads is that people want to do this. Leo and I were always complaining about apps that are so great, but you can only read them one way. And I definitely use it in portrait and landscape mode, just depending on what's comfortable. Okay, so anyway, this app, while only in portrait, I went ahead and I don't have any kids, but I do have a cat. So that's actually my cat, Lucy, but I named her Thelonious just for our exercise here. So what do I do at this point? What is this app going to help me keep track of?
Oh, does Thelonious have homework?
Thelonious does have homework. Yeah, she needs to learn how to potty in the toilet.
Okay. So this is an app where you can use incentives in order to get your child to behave themselves well. Now, when I first heard of this, I thought, well, why am I bribing my child to do the things that they should already do? Why don't we just, you know, make them do that, and in exchange, we don't spank their little butts. But I realized that this is really the same thing as me being a good girl. I was raised a girl, being a good being a good girl when I was little, and getting my allowance. And so, what you do is you put these tasks that you want your child to work on. Like, say they're having a hard time sharing. Mm-hmm. Say they're having a hard time not pulling their sister's hair. Say they're having a hard time getting their homework done. So you put 3 or 4 goals in each child's profile.
Got it.
And then when they do well on those goals, you give them a star, 1 star, 2 star, whatever. They can continue to accumulate stars until they want to cash out. And then when they cash out the stars, they can choose what they want to cash it out for. And then they lose that currency. So say they want a new PlayStation, that could be like 600 stars. So it could be a long time till they get there. Or maybe they want to go out for ice cream at the end of the week, that could be 10 stars. So they will know what their currency is worth. They'll know that could be cashed out now, or that could be cashed out maybe later for something bigger. And when they get the payout, they lose those stars and they start over again. The cool thing about this is they can't take your iPhone and just give themselves stars for things, because you can set a lock on each child's profile.
Very clever.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe next week you put a goal in their profile that says no hacking my iPhone. But you can change these as much as you want. You can customize them, you know, so it could be something as personal as, you know, finished their homework or you know, finished their math homework or whatever. You can put as many children as you want in the app. You can even put your spouse if you want to give them honeydews, and who knows what their stars will be. I don't want to know. And like you're doing right now, you can change the value of these things. So the app might say that a new crayon set is worth 10 stars. You might think that that's only worth 5 stars because you can get it at the dollar store. So it teaches them not only to be goal oriented, it teaches them as well to learn about currency and learn about, you know, either buying something now or saving up your money for something later.
I love this idea because my first reaction was, wow, parents are just spending a lot of time being organized about, behavior and rewards. But this is all stuff that my mom would have taped to our refrigerator, pre-iPad days. I think most kids are actually really familiar with the system of you do something good and you're rewarded, you do something bad and something gets taken away from you, especially if you have multiple kids, or even if you were, running some sort of a daycare. I mean, there are many uses that this app could apply to that just keeps things organized.
Exactly. And no, I reviewed this on Consumer Reports, and I had one person write me and say, well, kids respond better when they can see the goal. So they respond better when it's up on the wall. And that might be true. You could always print it if you've got iPrint from iPad. But I think that kids are also really obsessed with phones these days. They always want to take your phone and play a game and, surf the internet or look something up or video chat with grandma. So I think this is probably incentive enough, especially if they're older children and they understand. And we have a bunch of people in the chat room. Did we not say the name? It's iRewardChart.
iRewardChart at iRewardChart.com. And it's $3.99. But this is, it almost seems like the most robust program of all of them. The apps that you suggested all do different things well. But this is, you could kind of go nuts with this and it could last you years. As your child grows, their goals are different. Their behavior changes and evolves. So this could really be something that could be helpful for a long time.
Although I will say, I probably would have resented it when I was 16.
Oh, can you imagine? No. Mom gets iPad app out. Oh, boy. And here come the tears. Yeah, you never let me do anything. Yeah.
I'm five stars short of a car. I'm almost there.
I'm sorry I talked back. Can I take it back?
Damn it.
What can I do?
Car.
Yeah, there's certain things that just never change as far as children's behavior goes. But these are great. We've got Counting Bear, we've got Toddler Jukebox, Once Upon a Potty, a familiar song to too many people, and iRewardChart. And these are all apps, Natalie. I had never heard of them before. I wouldn't have known where to look. So it's so great to have somebody coming from the parent side of things saying, I know about these apps. I have a little guinea pig to test them on, and these are the sorts of things that can really be helpful to parents. Again, because some of us I'd love to have better opinions about this, but you kind of need to be living this every day in order to be an expert.
Right, which is the reason I want to apologize that most of these are toddler-based because I have a toddler. So I think parents of children who are maybe 8, 9, 10 years old might not find these quite as useful. But right. when I get there in 8 years, I will come back on the show.
There you go.
With my picks in.
And we will have you.
Okay.
If you're interested in any of the links we talked about and you're like, they went by too fast, don't worry. Just go to twit.tv/IPT. That's our show page. That's where all of our show notes go. For this show, we'll have them up shortly. We actually now have the ability to put show notes into our episode pages. So we're going to spend a little bit more time making those prettier for you. The show notes area, which is the wiki, which is community editable, will not go away. So you still have the option if you've seen something in the show, you have something to add, you can always add that stuff in. We're just, with our new website, trying to make things as easy for you as possible to find later on. Of course, this is where you can also subscribe to our show. If you missed episode 38 and you think, I might like to see that at some point, don't worry, it's all there. You can go backwards, you can skip around. We try to make it as easy as possible with video and audio feeds. You can embed the video now. And definitely keep giving us feedback on our new website. We're really excited about it. There's still some little tweaks here and there to do, but boy, is it an improvement. Looking better every day. And a quick reminder that if you're not watching us live, we do record the show live on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's Natalie's time zone, 1:30 Pacific. And if you have app ideas of your own, I say if as if you don't. We know you do because you email us all the time, but continue to do so because they're really helpful when we decide what's going to go into our next show, iPad Today at twit.tv. We're going to get into some of iPad Today, but it is only a weekly show, this week's news. But first, we want to thank our friends at Citrix. They're our first sponsor on the show today for a wonderful little service called Go to My PC. If you're not familiar with Go to My PC, well, you are missing out. If you go to gotomypc.com, you can you get a sense of what's going on. But the idea is that you're not always at your home computer. You might have a wonderful desktop setup. You've got your great home office. You've got a good, stereo system. The whole thing is great. But you can't take that and pack it with you when you leave. The whole point of GoToMyPC is to allow you to access everything that's on a very important computer that's not mobile when you are mobile. So iPad. You can access your PC, your home PC, on your iPad, for example. Or, you know, some other computer that you can also take with you. It's really, really easy to set up. Promise. Go to MyPC. They have a nice little walkthrough. It's very, if you're not understanding the concept, they spell it out. But I promise, this is not difficult. It's actually going to be really helpful if you've ever been like, oh man, I really need to get something that's on my home PC and I didn't do it and I forgot. If you've got GoToMyPC on anything that you've got with you under your arm, you are good to go. Once you go ahead to the URL, if you go ahead and click the try it free button, then enter the promo code. Let me make sure I have this right. I don't want to say it wrong. iPad. So it's not iPad today. It's just the word iPad. You have a special offer of free 30 days. Free 30 days. We have so many different promo codes. I have to make sure that I keep them straight. So you can download the free app. The app is free, which is great. And then if you want to try it out for 30 days for free and just make sure, yeah, the iPad, I've got my iPad, I'm on the go, and this is really working out for me. I find that I'm really needing to use GoToMyPC to access stuff all the time. Then go ahead and sign up because it sounds like it's the service for you. Again, it's GoToMyPC.com, and that offer code is iPad for your 30-day free trial. Okay, so let's get into the news of the week that's for adults for the most part. An app called Zeit. We've talked about it on iPad Today in the past. Natalie, have you tried it? Have you heard of it?
I have tried it. I used it for a little bit. I don't use it regularly, but I liked it.
Yeah, so anybody who remembers us talking about Zeit, or even if you didn't, the whole idea behind Zeit is it is... It's news that's delivered to you that gets smarter as you tell it what you like and you don't like. So I'm going to go back to my home area. So these are top stories based on sections that I've already said I'm interested in. So film and TV, for example, gadgets, Mac news. When I go into the customize area, Zeit gives me some pretty general topics that help decide, okay, well, what kind of stories am I interested in? If I was interested in science news, I can go ahead and add that. If I feel like, you know, music news and commentary stuff hasn't really been very helpful for me, I can go ahead and it gives you a lot of control over the kind of news stories that you see. Okay, so once that happens, Zeit is now refreshing my magazine. And you look, it's very magazine-like. People want to make comparisons to Flipboard, which it definitely has. You know, you're kind of scrolling through top stories. You can see where they're coming from. Eater is a food blog I read very regularly, so this is definitely something I'd want to read. Mashable, The Next Web. Something called Subtraction.com, which is some sort of an email article. So let's say I read this article and I say, yeah, I love this. I really like this. I can go ahead and thumbs up. So it's kind of that stumble upon type of a thing. If I didn't like the article, I could thumbs down. And that's how Zeit gets smarter because it goes, okay, you liked this article or you didn't like this article. My algorithm is going to get smarter now. And I'm going to make sure that I'm serving up stories that you like more. So it's a little bit more, in a way, it's less customizable than Flipboard because you're not really going off of RSS feeds, but it also gives you a chance to discover more stuff. What's interesting about Zeit and why we're talking about it again is that CNN just bought Zeit. And I wonder, Natalie, how is CNN going to be in control of Zeit without inserting a bunch of CNN articles into it, which would really defeat the purpose of it being my news source that I'm picking and choosing from.
Or alternatively, they may delete their competitors' newscasts, which is something that you might be afraid of if you're a Zeit fanatic. I'm not exactly sure. I know CNN has the reputation of being on the forefront of digital news. They had a better website before anyone else did. They had a better iReport site before anyone else did. They were on with the interactive touchscreen. So they like to consider themselves on the forefront of technology. But I'm not sure how this fits in with their brand. And they've got a very nice iPad app already. So it's a tiny bit perplexing.
It is. That's a good point. They do have an iPad app that's obviously very heavily CNN branded. I mean, it's all about CNN stuff. And it's great for anybody who's a CNN fan, who that's what they, you know, they're looking for certain writers and shows and so forth. Zeit has nothing that even seems CNN-y about it to me. And that is a little troubling to think that there would be any burying of competitors' stories or sources. Although, if you think about something like AOL Editions, which is a little bit, it's different than Zeit because it's really sort of a once-a-day edition of a bunch of news stories, but it acts similar to Zeit, and we've talked about editions in the past before. You can, AOL, what they do at the beginning is when you first start up editions, they have all sorts of AOL properties that get propagated into the news stories. You know, Huffington Post is featured very prominently, but they do allow you to strip that out. If you're like, I don't want to see anything from Huffington Post anymore, they're not going to give you grief about it. So as long as Zeit keeps that same attitude under the umbrella of CNN, I don't know. I mean, maybe we expect to see some CNN ads at some point, you know, at the bottom of the page. I'm not sure. But it is interesting to see these big media properties going and buying up these iPad apps that are very good, but never really had any brand association before.
Yeah, and we were on a road trip recently, and we got the new CNN app that actually streams the channel straight to the iPad, and we streamed it on 3G while we were driving, and it worked just fine, and we were watching CNN on the road because we wanted to see Gaddafi. And so would they then insert that capability into Zeit, where maybe it's just a, like you could read something that corresponds to what you're watching? I don't know. That's a possibility.
I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, this is just a couple of days old, and maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe Zeit goes away. Maybe it changes dramatically. Hard to say. Okay, so the next story that I wanted to talk about, I think it's really silly, but I threw it in there because, hey, we're a couple of women in technology who care about this kind of stuff. It was a story from GigaOm that was starting to crunch some numbers based on e-reader numbers versus tablet numbers and who's buying them and what their gender is. And it sounds like, and these, again, are very preliminary because both tablets and even e-readers are really just, in many cases, a few years old at most. Well, in all cases, really are a few years old. But that it seems the trend tends toward women preferring e-readers, kind of like that Kindle commercial where the two people are by the pool. You may have seen it. I've seen it about 400 million times. And men preferring tablets. Now, of course, Kindle is the best known version of the e-reader, but there's a variety of other e-readers that are popular, and tablets are all over the place. I mean, there's a new tablet being announced, I mean, every day, it seems like. What do you think about this, Natalie? I don't even own an e-reader, so at first I wanted to take offense to this whole thing, like, hey, what does that mean? Women can't handle tablets? I love tablets, but I'm not really comparing the two, and maybe there is some truth to this.
Well, I think it has more to do with the family budget than what women prefer, because I think when it comes time to get a new gadget, it's usually, oh, this iPad, it's so fancy, it's so cool, and usually the man of the family will get it. I'm not trying to overgeneralize, but I think that's sort of the case in most of the people I know. And then the woman will say, well, you know, I'll just be fine. All I want to do is read books, so I'll just get the Kindle or I'll just get the Nook.
Right.
And with the Nook, you get a lot of extra features because it's running Android. So you get some of those apps, but I think it has more to do with the budget. I think, my dad for Christmas wanted to get his wife an e-reader, and I said, well, you know, why don't you just spend a little more money and get her an iPad then? Because you might as well just get those extra functions. I think most people kind of rationalize, well, we'll just get all we need is books. And then with the Nook now, like all I need is books and email because it can do that. I don't think it has to do with whether or not a woman would want one. I mean, get a woman an iPad, she's not going to send it back.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. So I think your point is it's a good one. There's a big financial incentive to go a little bit cheaper, and e-readers just tend to be cheaper than tablets as a rule. They do last, but hey, if you're a big reader, and both men and women are big readers, it's certainly women aren't reading more than men, at least not the men I know. So yeah, there are a lot of factors. Just interesting. It's interesting to see the differences between men and women already being compared when it comes to tablets and e-readers, rather than, I don't know, books and TV shows, which might have been some sort of a poll a few years ago. We got a duh tip from Tracy. She is Topecat on Twitter. She made us a little video and sent it in, and it's a pretty good one. Take a look.
Hi, Leo and Sarah. This is Tracy in Rockville, Maryland, with a quick duh tip for using Mobile Safari. Everyone knows how in Mobile Safari you can search Google by tapping on the search bar at the top of the window. But did you also know that you can search the contents of the web page that you're on? I'll demonstrate here by using the Xcode iOS simulator. If we enter our search term, Google will attempt to autocomplete with a list of phrases that start with our term. But the very bottom of that list is on this page with a number of matches. Tapping that brings us to the search results that are on that page. Clicking the next button at the bottom cycles through the list of matches. And here's
this
a bonus tip.
I never noticed this either.
The search engine that Mobile Safari uses.
Oh.
Go to Settings.
She's not even done.
Safari and Search Engine. And you get your choice of Google, Yahoo, or Bing. That's my duh tip for you. I hope someone finds it useful. Love the show.
Thanks, Tracy. Tracy, okay, so we have talked about changing your default search engine in the past, but I've never really noticed this whole find on page feature. I'm looking for it right now. If I'm at Twit TV and I'm looking for Natalie, for example, you know, I start typing Natalie and Google suggestions is saying Natalie Portman, Natalie Wood, Natalie Morales. But if I try to find Natalie on the page, it jumps me right down to the latest tweet from Twit Live, which is on the page, mentioning that Natalie Morris is my guest host today on the show. So if you're on, and anybody who's familiar with the find feature knows that once you start using it, it's a really indispensable tool for just finding certain things. You know that there's a keyword and you want to jump to that certain paragraph and you don't remember where it was on a page. That's something I never noticed on Mobile Safari for the iPad. It's really helpful.
I just noticed it the other day and I was like, oh, how come I didn't know this was there? I thought that I was really missing out on something. So I'm glad that we're calling it a duh tip because it's one of those. I do miss my keyboard shortcuts a lot when I'm on iPad. So the more that you can find to work around, the better.
Totally. So thanks, Tracy, a.k.a. Topcat. It's always fun to get people's videos, whether they're duh tips, which of course are the tips that you might say, duh, I wish I had known about that before. But hey, I didn't know about it either. So it's always good to share that kind of thing because those of you who knew about it say, I knew that. But many more of us might say, oh, that's an awesome feature. And I never knew that that was there. So thanks to you. We also got a tip from Andrew in London who turned me on to an Instagram user by the name of Kritz Mania. So it's K-R-I-T-Z Mania. We usually don't feature Instagram users because that's really specific. But it's worth mentioning him because if I go ahead and pull up his username, Kritz, I'll go ahead and I'll rotate this once I get him up. He is interesting because he takes almost exclusively pictures of interesting iPhone and iPad situations. For example, it's like a picture of a woman, you know, with her hair blown back on an iPad, and he made kind of like a funny little, I don't know, picture out of that. Chad, you're playing a video that we're not ready for yet. That's okay. And here's another. I mean, it's kind of silly, but you go, wow, he got 363 likes on this photo. I barely ever get over 100. I mean, that's a really good day when I get something like that. So he has quite a following for his sort of silly pictures where it's like, oh, it's a picture of the car that he's in front of. He also has a white iPad, so I like that because, you know, I'm also a white iPad user. And he does a lot of iPhone tricks as well, you know, the devil and the angel on his shoulder. But, I mean, this guy is like an Instagram star. I was not aware of him. I don't know if this is some sort of a meme where you take pictures of meat on an iPad and then put your iPad on a grill and then take a picture of that and everyone goes, ha-ha, I see what you did there. But it's new to me. So if you're an Instagram user, he might be a fun person to follow because he's really taking this stuff seriously.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, just for fun.
I like it.
So he's our iPad star of the week. We haven't had one of those in a while. Natalie, if you've watched some of our older shows, Leo started to get kind of annoyed with me because I was always featuring cats. I would just say, send me pictures of your cats and we'll feature them on the show. And so there were a lot of cat lovers who wanted to participate. And he was like, this is really off topic. So we stopped doing that for a while. So now this is our iPad star of the week, who's actually applicable to the stuff that we're talking about. We love your feedback. We always try to feature as many emails and voicemails and videos from all of you as possible. We did get an email from... it's A-R-I-E-K, who is a Twit brick owner, so thank you very much for buying a brick, who gave us a heads up that Print to PDF, which is an app we featured in episode 56, has been pulled from the App Store. And if you go to Print to PDF's page, they kind of spell out why. Apple Developer Relations called them and said, we're not allowed to use AirPrint as a way to print documents to PDF. So it's not available in the App Store. If you already downloaded it, and I hope you did, episode 56 was a while ago now, it still works. And it's great because for anybody who's like, what does Print to PDF do again? What it does is, let's say, you know, I'm on the homepage of Twit TV and I want to create a PDF, for example. Once Print to PDF has to be running in the background, but once it is, if I go ahead to my print area and choose print, Print to PDF becomes, if I select printer, oh, maybe I'm not running it anymore. Have to run it first. Let's see if I'm still running Print to PDF. Yeah, I am. Oh, I know. I have to launch it. It has to launch. And then if I go back to my Safari area and I want to print, Print to PDF becomes my option. If I go ahead and print, now in my camera roll, well, at Print to PDF, this page is saved as a PDF. So you can see, wow, that's really, really helpful. Printed file saved successfully. I love this. Well, it doesn't sound like Apple is loving this too much. Maybe it's something, you know, it's a functionality that they're working on. I assume so. And they just don't want to have anybody that's directly competing with them. But anybody who didn't download it, I'm sorry if you're catching up on episode 56. No longer available. But again, thanks to REK for giving us the heads up, because we always want to make sure that we're up to date on stuff that we've recommended highly in the past. Also got a voicemail from Dino, who's got a beef with books costing too much.
Hey, this is Dino, the Country Time Buttercrock guy. On your episode where you're talking about the back-to-school apps and stuff, as an app developer myself, it's kind of puzzling how apps used to be real expensive, and then along comes the App Store, and then they're 99 cents, and now we got books that in print are really expensive, and in order to make a book in print, you need to send the publisher an electronic copy of the book in order for them to print it. So if we've got the electronic copy of the book already, why can't we just dump that out there and make a book a buck a piece rather than $89 a piece? The infrastructure's there, the internet's there, doesn't make any sense. Love the show. Thanks.
I've wondered the same thing. Tom Merritt actually just wrote a book, and it's something that, you know, it's available as an audiobook or a book, you know, an ebook. And I asked him, well, what's your next step? Do you try to, I don't know, hook up with a publisher and get it in, I don't know, Barnes & Noble stores and get on the New York Times bestseller list? And he said, I don't know. You know, his whole thing is that's a lot of work and everything. But what really is stopping a lot of us from printing more books? Is it just the binding? I don't know.
What do you mean? Like, from printing out our books?
Yeah, I mean, Dino's point is, hey, applications used to be really expensive. And now kids' apps, for example, are, you know, $99, $199 type of a thing. And if you write a book, you have to send a digital copy to the publisher anyway so that they can print out the book. Why do we need those publishers? Why do the books have to be so expensive on the other end?
I don't know. It's
a good question.
I don't know anything about the business of publishing.
Yeah, I assume. I mean, it has to do with obviously the materials, the mass production. I mean, you need warehouses for those sorts of things. I mean, paper's expensive, obviously.
And yeah.
So especially hardcover books, but even paperbacks. There'll be a favorite book you have where you go, oh, this paper's really nice. You know, so there's effort that goes into that. I guess nobody's stopping you from printing a bunch of books and, you know, putting them in a notebook and distribute them all over town. But yeah, I agree with you, Dino. It's unfortunate that going through publishers and publishing houses, and I guess that also has to do with getting the word out and there being media press around this stuff. There is still a system. It's almost like being in Hollywood where you do have to rely on what seems like kind of an archaic model, you know, as authors. But hey, the industry is changing. So I'm with you. Books should be less expensive. All right. Reminder that we are at iPad Today at twit.tv. That's our email address. You can leave us a voicemail, as Dino did, at 757-504-IPAD. Or for extra points, send us a video. We'll always feature your videos if we can. Try to put video in the subject line. Try to keep those voicemails and videos 30 seconds or less. Makes it easier for us to put it in the show. And if you do upload a video, just send us the link for whatever it lives, because we don't want to open attachments. Before we get to our app caps, Natalie, you should get your cap ready, because we're almost...
It's ready.
It's okay, good. Want to thank Audible for being our second sponsor on this episode of iPad Today. If you're not familiar with Audible, and I was asking Natalie before the show started, do you like to listen to audiobooks? And you had said, actually, there was a book that you and Clayton had listened to recently, but you had already read it before. What was the audiobook experience like in comparison to the book?
Well, it was one of the Malcolm Gladwell books, and those books were so heavy in data. So those are things that I'll try and remember for kind of party-pleasing conversation tidbits and then forget. So it was nice to have it as an audio option so that I could sort of pick up the things that I would remember that I wanted to kind of put in my back pocket for witty conversation or just interesting conversation. So it was nice to have that reinforce the things that I might have forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I... Leo listens to so many audiobooks, more than I have time for. He doesn't sleep as much as I do. But we're always talking about how, you know, you love a book, and when you're reading a book, it's a wonderful experience if you love what you're reading, because you're in your own head and you can let your imagination run wild. And an audiobook takes a little bit of that imagination and kind of it gives you something that's a little bit more concrete, because you've got a voice talking to you. Sometimes there's multiple voices that are almost like acting out a play type of a thing. So it's a different kind of experience. And it's great for if you're commuting, if you're at the gym, if for whatever reason your eyes are tired, you don't want to wear your glasses. I mean, there's so many reasons that you want to absorb information of fiction or nonfiction, whatever it might be. Periodicals, too, at Audible. But reading isn't the best solution. Audiobooks are great. Once you get hooked on them, it's hard to go back, because you can do so many other things. You can be cooking dinner at the same time. I mean, multitasking is really great with audiobooks. It's just not something that you can do with a traditional book. And of course, you can listen to, if you have an Audible account, you can listen on all sorts of devices. So it's not like you still have to be sitting on your couch listening to an audiobook, you know, staring at the ceiling type of a thing. You can access it on many devices. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today let me make sure that's right. I'm sorry. I already got one wrong today, so I just want to make sure that that's right. Yes, that's correct. iPad Today. Sometimes they go iPad, sometimes they go iPad Today. So audiblepodcast.com/iPad today is the place to go, and you can just look through their collection. They've got bestsellers, they've got recommended, they've got new releases, classics. If you know that there's a book that you'd really like to experience as an Audible book, it's a great little search functionality. So believe me, with over 75,000 titles, it's probably on Audible, and you get a book for free. That's where our special code comes in. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today, and just pick the book of your choice. Pick the longest book. Pick Shogun. That's a really long book. If you want to get, you know, more bang for $0, actually. And try out that audiobook. See if you like it. And if you do, and I bet you will, Shogun is a really good book. You can sign up for an Audible account, and you can be downloading audiobooks regularly. And it's a lot of fun. Take it from us. audiblepodcast.com/iPad today, and we thank them so much for sponsoring this episode of the show. And now, Natalie, it is time for app caps.
I'm ready.
I told you before the show. Oh, nice. Your app cap is pretty. Mine is stupid. Yeah.
Wait, I thought it was supposed to be chic.
Wait, no? Now it is. Now it is.
I thought Leo's fez was pretty chic, so I went
So Leo and I, sometimes we try to one-up each other on, you know, who has, like, the grosser hat. This is actually really light cowboy hat, so I like this one. It's just a little bit too big, so it's kind of silly on me. But your hat is lovely.
Because I'm real.
You're so J-Lo right now.
I am, right?
Yeah. Yes. No, it's good stuff. You actually look better than J-Lo does.
And, I have to say, I really wear hats.
You're made for this. All right, so this
I've been looking forward to this all week.
I'm glad. Thank you. Another hat fan. The App Cap Awards, if anyone's like, what are they doing? This is the part of the show where we talk about two apps. We each get to pick one that we like for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be about anything in particular. It just has to be an app that we like, that we can talk about. And we decide to wear hats while we talk about them because they're our app caps. So I'll go ahead and start. I got an email from Leslie, who was asking, what is a good app for printing photo books? And she said, some of the people in my family are just not, she said older, but they're not tech savvy. So digital photo books, not the right choice. She said that the HP PhotoBook app seemed okay, but kind of limited. And I can't use Shutterfly or Snapfish because they have Flash on the website, so I can't access them via Mobile Safari. What's a kind of app that I could use that's a good bet? My first reaction was Blurb.com, because Blurb.com is one of the absolute best ways to create a photo book. And I mean, they're like, here, let me go to the website here on my iPad. They are, I mean, they really make, talk about like nice books and bindings and things like that. They make beautiful photo books. All you really need is some photos and you know, a little bit of a story. You can go ahead and start making a book. And so this was going to be my recommendation to Leslie. However, once I got started, and I'll just go ahead and choose the easiest template. This is the cheapest kind of book. It's still pretty nice. You go ahead and it gives you a little bit of features overview, and you go ahead and get started. The problem is that once you get started into the process, it turns out that it uses Flash as well. So it's actually it's not a good option via Safari. So as you can see, you get that Flash player, and it's like, this is just the kiss of death for us iPad users, is once you see that little Flash button, you know that you can't participate. But Blurb does have a pretty fun mobile app. It's called Blurb Mobile. And Leslie, it's not the printed out photo book that you're looking for, but it actually might be fun, especially since some of the people in your family aren't super tech savvy, but they probably have an email address, right? So I went ahead and created a story, and I'll just show you. What I did was, this is all photos. I don't have too many photos on my iPad, but these are all photos that I downloaded from my collection. And what you can do is you can add a photo, and then you can add like a little audio file. So this is like, hi, I bought my iPad today.
I took my very first picture.
And then...
then I went to Paris.
So you see, so I made a very silly little... this is actually totally out of chronological order. I went to Paris before I ever had an iPad 2. But there's a picture of Leo and I from the studio. There's a picture of me from a couple of years ago. There's a variety of stuff that you can embed videos. This is what I do at home. I watch my cats make out. It's, which is weird because they're siblings. And, you know, nice picture of Tahoe. So you get the idea. This is actually a story that I've already put together. But if I wanted to edit it, for example, I can rotate pictures. I can zoom in on certain things, you know, if that was a family member of mine. You know, I can make this kind of a fun little photo story. And what's cool about it is that when you're done with the story, you can send it either to Facebook or Twitter. Those are like the sort of obvious choices. But you can also email it to a family member. How do I, if I go into my story stream here, you can also, by the way, there are other people who have chosen to make some of their stories private or public. I made mine private just because it was sort of just for research purposes, and it wasn't a very good story. But you can also look at other people's stories just to get an idea of what they're making. But if you email it to a family member, yeah, it's not a book that they can have on their coffee table, but I emailed it to myself, and it comes out as this really nice multimedia, but just a web page. And the same little arrows are there for the audio, and the video plays as normal in this nice little Blurb interface. I think they'd really dig that, and it's really easy to put together. I mean, talk about putting something together on the fly. Not super fancy, but it's completely free, and you just take your own media, anything that's downloaded from your iPad, or you can pull it in from a variety of sources, Instagram account, that kind of thing. So I like it. I hope that's helpful to you, Leslie. It's not exactly what you asked for, but maybe it's something that you didn't realize you could use and your family would appreciate. All right, Natalie, you're up.
Okay. Since we were doing children's apps, I chose Pitterpad, which is the silliest little app. It's free, and it's just a way to use your iPad to measure your child's feet. Now, why would you want to do this? Well, most of all, for buying shoes online. It only fits little children's feet. So I tried it on my own. And then I realized that my foot is bigger than the iPad. And then I felt stupid. It was like when you're in elementary school and someone asks you if your hand is bigger than your face. I feel like that's what I did by putting my own foot on my iPad. I felt really dumb. So you can choose, you know, pink or blue, however you want. And then all you do is move that. You set your child on the floor. You have them put their foot on the iPad, and then you move this thing up and down, and it tells you there are three, there are four, and then you can order your shoes online with confidence. And basically, remember when you were little and you went into the Stride Rite store and you sat down and the man put your foot in the silver thing, which I know has a name, but I don't.
I remember it too. Yeah, it's that foot measurer
thing. I don't know what that thing's called.
Yeah.
So basically, this is a way for you to do that yourself. You know, you want to hope that your child's foot is clean, but it's so silly. And then it has a bunch of different metrics. So you can measure your child's foot in the English foot size metric. You can, you know, European, Canadian, Japan, Korea, and just kind of a nice thing. And it's free. It's silly, but it's free. And every mother that I've talked to or shown this to is like, that's awesome. Let's measure their feet, because they grow so darn fast. This is something you think that you know, but you know, my son was right in between the four and the five, so I wanted to see what it thought. And so, of course, I'm not going to buy fours because he's going to grow out of them in 2 seconds. So, useful.
I love this. Pitterpad.com. It's free, and you're right. Babies, the littlest ones especially, it's like, if you're going to buy something, well, buying online, first of all, is obviously very convenient, but shoes can be tricky because you want to make sure that they're right. And also, you don't want to spend a bunch of money on these awesome little shoes for your little one that can't be returned, or returning is a huge hassle because they're going to grow out of them in a week. So,
yeah,
this is great. This is like, it's such an obvious iPad app that I never would have thought of.
I know, exactly. Ever. And it does, it gives you instructions when you open it. It says make sure that they're seated, because you don't want anyone stomping, you know, you don't want them getting carried away with putting their foot down hard, or you can even do it while they're seated and, you know, kind of like this if you wanted to.
Exactly. So I guess it's good for anybody whose foot is still smaller than the screen of an iPad. After that, you got to go into the shoe store. And somebody in that chat room was telling me the name of that thing, Mattock.
What is it?
Was that what it was? I don't know.
Clad Hopper Calibrator?
Yes, it was. It was.
I don't know.
I don't know either. A Brannock. Brannock device.
A Brannock.
How do you guys all know this? I've never even heard that word before. A Brannock device. Well, that's what it was. Yes. And someone in the chat room was also saying it was so cold. It was cold for me, too. It wasn't very a pleasant experience, although I was always really happy when my foot was bigger than last time, because there was a time in my life where I thought I would be a lot bigger than I am. So when I was still growing, it was very exciting. It was a long time ago.
So you get a new pair of scuff-proof shoes. Right. Do you have those scuff shoes?
Exactly. All right, Natalie, we've gotten to the end of our lovely show, and this has been awesome. I hope that you will come back and join us again soon. Even, you know, if it's just another bunch of apps when Leo's back, we'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, well, I write this column weekly, every Monday or sometimes Tuesday. A new app review and Consumer Reports will go up from me in the babies and kids section. So visit Consumer Reports and read my work, I hope, and I'll have a whole handful more because I'm doing these weekly.
Sounds great. Where else can people follow your trials and tribulations as a geek and a mother and a wife and a friend online? I already know the answer.
You can follow me on Twitter. It's just at Natalie Morris. Or you could read Mommy Beta. That's my mommy blog. It's just mommybeta.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us. It was really fun. And I think you have the prettiest hat ever.
Oh, thank you. My hat and I will be back.
We've seen a lot of hats. All right. We're going to... Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We're going to play ourselves out with an original creation by Bob Severance, who used an app, a variety of apps, but predominantly an app called Photo Puppet HD. And I'll say no more. Take it away, Bob. I'm a detective.
I don't care about iPads, and I don't care about anything. I'm a techno cat in a suit. on the top.